Thanks so much for joining in today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, talking about water now. About a quarter of Wisconsin's population drinks water drawn from private wells. I think it's a great way to get fresh water. That's assuming you maintain the system correctly. And we're going to be talking about getting your well water tested today with our guest, Marty Nessman. Marty is private water section manager at the DNR. And as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. Want to hear from you. Give us your questions about the well water testing process. Maybe you're a new homeowner. Are you wondering which labs to send your samples to? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Marty Nessman, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I was trying to do the math on this. I was trying to remember how many people we have in the state of Wisconsin. Is it around 5 million, is it?
Around 5 million, yes.
And so how many of them are drinking from private wells? Over a million.
It would be over a million. There are over 800,000 wells in Wisconsin.
Wow. And why is it important to regularly sample your well water?
Well, one big reason is that private well owners are responsible for testing and maintaining their wells. There's no state requirement that anyone test their well if it's a private well. And it's, you know, going to be their choice to decide which tests to do and actions to take.
But it's probably a good thing to do.
It's definitely a good thing to do. While private wells do provide really high quality water in most cases, some do contain substances that affect our health. Testing is the only way to know what's in the water. A lot of contamination can be hard to detect by taste or smell or visually. So we definitely recommend that well owners complete tests once a year, especially for bacteria and nitrate, and then test their well for arsenic. That's our general recommendation, is to test for arsenic if you haven't tested it already.
So, yeah, and if you test it once for arsenic, should you do it again?
Yeah, you should test about once every 5 years. Make
sure
for arsenic. If you have a detection, you have arsenic in your water that's maybe close to the 10 milligram or micrograms per liter drinking water level, you should definitely test it more often, but every 5 years is a good recommendation to make sure you know what's in your water arsenic-wise.
And so, but for sure, for every year, you ought to be testing for?
Bacteria and nitrate.
Bacteria and nitrates. Okay, well, I know last show we had somebody who just bought a home, and for the first time, a homeowner. Mm-hmm. For him and for anybody else who's sort of a new well owner out there, walk us through everything you need to do to test your well water.
Well, to test your water, it's a fairly simple process. You would contact a certified laboratory. And if you need to find a certified laboratory, all you have to do is search for well testing on our website. It's dnr.wisconsin.gov. And they will send you a kit. You sample the water, send it back to them. You're going to want to make sure you test from a tap that's not treated already, so it doesn't have some kind of treatment system on it already, so that you know what's coming out of your well and what's in your system.
And what do you get, a test tube or something? Or
They will send bottles. I think the bacteria bottle is about 40 milliliters of water. Nitrate is similar, maybe a little larger. But you just fill them up to the line and get them back to the laboratory, and they'll analyze it.
I'm not sure I would have wanted to have my well water in the mail today.
Not today.
Or yesterday.
It's best if you can hand deliver it to the lab. If you mail it back, you got to make sure it's going to get there in time, because bacteria does have a shorter analysis hold time. So you want to get it there within 24 to 30 hours, and sometimes mailing it will not make it. And on a day like today, you'd probably want to put it in a bag with some ice, and that would insulate it from freezing today. So
yeah, for sure. The thing about this is, I'm thinking now, is the testing labs themselves. If if it's best to, I mean, do we have testing labs all over the state? And is it?
Yeah. There are testing labs throughout the state. On our website, they can list them by county. There are also many county health departments that have laboratories that do bacteria nitrate. But there's no, as long as they're, qualified to do bacteria nitrate analysis, you can take it to any lab that's out there.
And so now may not be the best time, but what's typically the best time?
Best time to sample?
Yeah.
I would say spring is always a nice time to sample because there's typically more rainfall, more infiltration. You should also, sample anytime you notice a change in your water's taste, color, or smell. So that's a good time to sample as well, because it's most likely to be a change in water quality if you notice something like that.
And there are sometimes when the taste of or the smell doesn't mean a whole lot.
Sometimes not. sometimes it does. It doesn't always mean that there's something harmful in the water, but it can mean that. Otherwise, it could mean there's something like a sulfur-degrading bacteria, which is generally harmless to humans, but can be a bit of a nuisance. It causes a rotten egg smell in your shower often. That's the most often you'd see.
Yeah, which you don't want to have. But I know there are certain areas, there's at least a couple areas that in the state that have that issue from time to time.
Yeah, certainly. It can be found just about anywhere.
Which areas of the state are most susceptible to groundwater problems?
Well, I think every area of the state has some susceptible areas. Anywhere where you're drawing from the very top of the aquifer, where there's shallow groundwater, and the travel time from the surface to your well is short. That tends to be a place where that could be. So the central sands can have some issues like that. Certainly the heavy industrial or agricultural uses, if you're in an area like that, nitrate is more likely to be found in heavy agriculture areas. There's different contamination and found in different parts of the state, so it's hard to make a broad generalization on that, but certainly the central sands with nitrates is has been in the news, but it is kind of localized from place to place within that large geographic area.
I was trying to think of the typical depth, or if you own a home, you're sitting here, well, I've got this home, I've got a well, I don't even know how deep the well is.
Right.
Are there ways to check for that, or?
Well, there's a couple ways. We do have a webpage where you can access the well construction records that we have and do a search. You can search by map or by address or location. If you don't find your well construction report there, you could have a licensed well driller or pump installer come out and measure the depth of your casing, depth of the well, depth of water. That certainly would give you the information you need to know to make a good decision about whether or not to use that well.
Well, I'm wondering, how deep you'd have to go to kind of get away from that surface.
Well, we have certain minimum standards for how deep well casing should be, and sand and gravel aquifers generally 25 feet or 10 feet below the water table. The deeper below the top of the water table you get, generally, the less likely you'll have things coming in from the near surface, but that can also send you down to other things that you may not want either. So there's, from something like bacterial nitrate generally, being at least 50 feet below the top of the water table will help that situation. It may not in all areas correct it.
Bruce in Greene County, your turn. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. So I bought a kit with the stripe with the piece of paper that you match up the colors from Amazon to do all this. It was very economical, very easy. Even I could do it. Is that justifiable as sending it to a laboratory somewhere?
Well, for certain things, it could give you a general idea. For like nitrate strips are used, I've heard, on occasion. They can give you, they're not as accurate as a laboratory analysis, but they can give you a general idea of if you're way below the standard of 10 milligrams per liter nitrate or way above it. So they can be useful as an indicator.
So if it indicates you're way above, you ought to be going and get it tested anyway.
Absolutely. Yep.
And so when you get the test or when you get the results back, what appears in the paper?
Well, you should see the the result. You should see some. Typically, the laboratories will send you a letter with the results, and it'll say what the standard is, the drinking water standard is, and whether it's above or below that.
Probably, yeah, hopefully zero in it. A little bit. If they say, well, it's below the standard because...
Well, they probably won't go into that, but they'll just say, you know, nitrate was detected, let's say, 8. The standard is 10, you're below the standard. If it's above that, it'll indicate that it's above.
Steve in Rhinelander has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Steve.
Hello. I have a question about new well construction. The DNR website has a list of over 200 chemical lubricants allowed for use when drilling a new well. And these chemicals are all made by petroleum companies like Halliburton. It could be that the PFAS contamination starts when the water wells are drilled. Is the DNR testing these petroleum-based chemicals to make sure they do not contain PFAS or other dangerous contaminants?
Steve, thanks for calling. What do you think, Marty?
Well, we're not testing them directly, but there is a standard NSF 60 that is kind of used as a we use it to approve products for use in drilling wells in Wisconsin. And they have a very detailed standard that the drilling fluid companies need to follow when they're manufacturing the chemicals. And so if any PFAS were in there, it wouldn't meet the standard. They wouldn't be NSF 60 certified. So we kind of use that to make sure that there isn't anything in there. I can't tell you that we have sampled a lot of new wells for PFAS lately, and we are not finding levels of PFAS from any drilling fluids. Drilling fluids are seldom used in well drilling in Wisconsin, other than drilling mud, which is made from a bentonite product that doesn't have a lot of additives. So, and certainly not PFAS. PFAS wouldn't help drilling mud at all. So,
all right, there we go. And let's go to Jan in Middleton. Jan, hi.
Hi there. I recently bought a test kit online and wondering, because we live off of Highway 14 south of the Superfund site that is halfway between Middleton and Cross Plains, and our well, when we drilled it, this was like 40 years ago, was over 400 feet deep, so we're down deep, but we are also up on the moraine. And so I'm wondering what I need to test for, if there's anything specific other than the general test that everybody else sends in from the regular box thing that you get in the mail.
Okay.
Well, that's a hard question to answer because I'm not intimately familiar with that landfill Superfund site. But I know that the Superfund sites are monitored pretty frequently, and the remediation program would certainly be able to help you answer the question of if you should sample for anything. But if you haven't been contacted by the DNR or the responsible party for that Superfund site for testing, then they haven't detected anything near you where they would want to test your well. So I guess if you have any, if you look for that site on our webpage, if you just type in the name of it, you should be able to find resources to contact someone in the remediation program, and they could help you determine that.
Yeah, so just Wisconsin DNR and then type in Superfund sites? Or the specific one?
Yeah. The specific one, yeah.
Jan, yeah, so you should be able to find out pretty quickly who to contact if you want to ask them for more specifics on it.
Yeah, because it's such a wide range of things that could be there that you know, it's really good to narrow it down.
Yeah, it makes sense. Jan, thank you for calling. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or email to talk at WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at private wells today with our guest Marty Nesma. And Marty is the private water section manager at the DNR. Great to have him with us. And questions, give a call. Number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. Dennis emailed a question. If air tests show radon is low, should water be tested anyway for radon?
Typically, we don't recommend people sample their water for radon. We would recommend it an air sample because that's the most dangerous exposure out, is really breathing in radon through the air or through vaporized water.
So you ought to be testing, and probably this time of the year is a good time to be doing it, testing for radon for sure in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the base, if you have a basement in the basement of your home, it's a good time of the year to be doing that. And I don't know if you're familiar with radon test kits, but or have any, but
I haven't tested that. No.
Okay, so, yeah. But there are tests out there that you can do, and there are companies that'll do it for you.
Certainly,
for sure. Victoria sent us an email. She says she rents her apartment. Does her landlord have to test, or is that her responsibility? She noticed her water stinks after it sits for a day, and it also doesn't suds up well.
Okay. Your landlord probably is not required to, definitely not by the DNR. I guess we don't really regulate that part of it. It's not considered a public well because there's only, it's a single family home or it depends, actually, I should say.
Yeah, I was
depends on
say
the size it. Of the number of apartments that are there. If it's like a 4-unit apartment with a well, that wouldn't require regular sampling. But if he does sample, I mean, he should be able to provide you with results. So I would ask your landlord if he has done any sampling.
And if you're located in a city, you're probably on public. You may be on public water, Victoria,
right.
Which
yep.
That's a whole different thing. The municipality should be sending out information at least once a year. I think we get in Madison. We get at least once a year. I get it.
Yep.
I get a report on the quality of the water in the various wells around the city and the ones that I would be using. So there you go with that. Two emerging contaminants. PFAS has been in the headlines a lot. Maybe you could give us an overview of what it is and what we ought to be concerned with, and should we be testing for it?
Yeah, so PFAS is family of chemicals. They're man-made. It's the technical names are perfluoroalkyl and polyfluoroalkyl substances. Chemicals with many uses. They've been used in stain-resistant carpet and fabric, nonstick cookware, firefighting foam, fast food packaging. They're everywhere in the environment. So what makes PFAS kind of challenging is that they can be found just about anywhere. So some of the PFAS can affect your health at low levels. So right now we're recommending that you consider testing for PFAS if you live near a known PFAS site. There are some firefighting foam sites around the state. There are also some areas where it's been detected in municipal wells or other sampling that's been conducted. So, and you can find those on our website as well.
Sure. Eric in De Pere called, couldn't stay with us. He's a real estate agent and wondering which tests he should recommend to clients looking to buying a home with a well.
Yeah. So there are a couple things related to that. So, it's not required that any sampling be done when you're buying a house with a well. But if you do ask for an inspection of your well, which we recommend, prior to buying the house, that inspection has to be done by a licensed well driller or pump installer, and they have to sample for bacteria, nitrate, and arsenic as part of that inspection. So a general recommendation would be bacteria, nitrate, arsenic. Some lenders will require lead sampling as well or other samples to be collected. But those are the requirements and the general recommendation.
Yeah, that was a good question. Eric, thanks for that question. Barney wonders if, and this is an email, if bacteria in well water could be a sign the well pump needs replacing.
Not necessarily. It could mean many things, but it could mean that there is an opening into the well. It could be through the water line between the house and the well. Could be in the well casing itself. Could be the well cap, or typically like the electrical conduit that comes out of the well cap and goes into the ground. Often that cracks, and if it's not sealed above that crack, then insects and even rodents can get in the well, and that would cause a bacteria issue.
Oh my goodness.
I've seen it.
What about manganese? Does that ever come up as an issue?
Yeah, manganese, is a naturally occurring element, but it's part of a healthy diet, but it can affect your health at very high levels. So we generally recommend testing for manganese if your water is brown or rust black, or if it stains your faucets, sinks, or laundry, or if you notice kind of an off taste or odor to your water.
And health effects, if you're getting too much of it?
Yeah, there are certain effects, especially in children that are puberty age. There can be some developmental issues. I don't have all of the health effects off the top of my head, but it's generally not healthy for certain groups to have high manganese.
Pete and Crandon called, couldn't stay with us. He says the DNR put a sticker on his well that says, in quotes, unique well.
Yep.
What does that mean?
So that's your unique well number. You can use that number to look up your well construction report. We assign every new well a unique well number so that if it's sampled in the future or if something happens with that well down the line, you can find your well construction report. You can find sometimes some analytical data that have been collected from that well.
And somebody else wondered, does boiling water remove the contaminants?
So boiling water can help get rid of bacteria. It'll kill bacteria in water, but it won't affect other contaminants. And oftentimes it'll concentrate the contaminants if you boil the water because you're removing the actual
the water.
Good water.
the
pure water is evaporating, and the rest is just concentrating the contaminants more.
Not a good idea. And just last but not least, what can in-home water treatment filters, can they help?
Certainly. There are many treatment companies in Wisconsin and throughout the country that can treat for any contamination, nitrate, arsenic, lead. You just want to make sure you get the right one and that you maintain it.
Marty, the half hour flew by. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm happy to do it. Thank you.
Marty Nessman, Private Wells Section Manager at the Wisconsin DNR. Great to have him with us. And thank you for joining in today. And thanks to our whole team, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnut, our producers, our technical directors, Jeff Robbins and Lee Rayburn. Our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller, and hey, stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.